Hello, and welcome to LifeLab. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
We created a candid podcast for busy people. We get right to the point of our topics, and we keep them to 30 minutes or less.
We wanted to put our ideas out there, share it with people we love, and if it spreads, great.
Our show has no edits and no gimmicks.
Like it or don't, we initially started this project for ourselves, to record our thoughts for our kids, but our friends and family thought we should share it, so here you go. Hey, this is Zach, and welcome back to Life Lab, where we encourage you to experiment with life.
All right, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about self-confidence, which I think is a very important thing for anyone to have.
Absolutely.
We've come off of a period, I feel like, when we were young, that parents were encouraged to try and instill self-confidence in their kids. I feel like that was a big thing when we were young. In the 80s, I remember hearing about that. And my parents definitely did a good job of that.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that that's... How would you say it shifted now with helicopter parents and the idea of millennials? And
I feel like we're experiencing a backlash against it. I feel like the things that I've read about millennial culture lately have been from authors trying to tear that down, have been from saying, you're not special, you're not important. I've read articles like that. That seems to be a trend.
Right, though. And that's the reaction to, you're a beautiful, precious snowflake that can do anything you want.
You can do anything you want. I remember when we were young, that was the thing to teach kids. And my parents said it to me, too.
Oh, I'm going to tell my kid that, but I'm also going to teach them about responsibility and consequences for the choices we make.
No doubt.
So what I see that's not occurring with the millennials today in terms of their self-confidence is they were told all these things. They were given trophies for participation in class. I have colleagues that reward students for showing up. They literally get points. They're called participation points for simply showing up, for pure mediocrity. And then when they get out in the real world, they get hit in the face, and they're like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know, their self-confidence goes so low.
And it's so when we talk about self-confidence, self-confidence is your ability to trust and believe in your own skills and abilities, right?
To accomplish your goals, yep.
To accomplish your goals. And it sort of is based on self-image, what others think of you. That's how you develop your self-confidence, from the messaging that you're constantly receiving about yourself, right? So if you're constantly hearing that you are special and important, and the thing that I remember the older generation telling us when we were kids a lot was, you can do anything you want when you grow up. And some of the things that I've seen trying to tear that down recently are, you can't be president. There's no way you're going to be president. Statistically, the chances of you becoming the president of the United States are whatever they are, right? And so, sure, that's right. But, you know, obviously, I think tailoring that message to kids is important, to say, you can become something as important as a president, maybe not the president,
right?
Maybe the president.
Sure.
You know,
there's another term. It's an academic term called self-efficacy that's tied to self-confidence. So lots of people are self-confident, right? I do believe I've got skills, abilities, knowledge to do things, right, and accomplish goals. However, self-efficacy is your belief in yourself to execute certain behaviors in certain situations.
I like that, because then it's not always tied in the goal. The means are sometimes just as important as the ends.
Right. And for me, personally, self-efficacy is all about control. And at a very broad philosophical level, everything humans do is about control.
It is.
It can boil down to wanting to control. Who wants to say, you know, I love the feeling of not being in control?
Nobody
right?
does.
Nobody and so does. Think of someone who's not self-confident. They have the victim mentality. The world is happening to them. Whereas self-confident people have they're in their circle of control, as Stephen Covey would say.
That's right. And so, another thing to think about when we talk about self-confidence is the ability to take risks. A very self-confident person will feel that the outcome is going to be positive. They're positive people. They're positive thinkers, and they will take that risk because they are confident in their ability to achieve.
Tony Robbins, Robert Anton Wilson, Bill Gates, Elon Musk have all said the same thing: optimists change the world, pessimists critique it.
That's right. You pessimists don't get anything done.
No, right? And they can sound really smart critiquing everything, but at the end of the day, it's what value are you adding by simply pointing out and labeling problems instead of trying to take a risk, as you just said, and solve one.
Which is funny. I would put that to those people. We were talking about how there's a backlash against the whole self-confidence movement, and I would put this to those, if I could have a response to those authors of these, saying you're not a special snowflake, you can't achieve. Like, well, what good are you doing in the world?
By pointing that out.
By pointing that out. I mean, think about the things that people have gone on to do and achieve because they had the balls to try it,
right?
Because they had the self-confidence. Whether or not it was founded on anything real or not, it doesn't matter. They had the ability to go out and try to take that risk and try to achieve because something was backing them.
Well, I agree, but I'll pick your idea apart a little
bit.
Sure,
do it.
As our philosopher Yoda said, do or do not. There is no try. So self-confident people don't try. They just go do. And then if it doesn't work, then they go do something else.
Well, that's a question about what is failure.
Fair enough. But I just wanted to say that. I love that Yoda quote. Okay. And Star Wars is big right now.
Okay.
So what is, you had mentioned this earlier. Is being self-confident the same as being egotistical?
Right. And you put it very well. And you said that self-confidence and ego are two different things. Being self-confident is having that confidence in yourself and the ability to take the risk. Being egotistical, though, is making decisions in a self-centered way that to benefit yourself only.
Correct.
And then we talked about it because my thought then was, yeah, but I feel like they're not totally separate. I feel like being egotistical is somewhat of an extension of self-confidence. You can be a self-confident and it's good up to a point, and then at somewhere there's some gray line there. I don't know where it is that you cross into being egotistical.
I like that. Have you ever met an egotistical person who isn't self-confident?
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron.
It's
right?
Impossible.
It's a
yeah.
contradiction. I think about it as self-confidence is the springboard from which egotistical people build or jump, right? And so think about Donald Trump, right? Presidential politics going on right now. Ultra egotistical, ultra narcissistic,
no doubt.
But very self-confident and an achiever.
Yeah, absolutely. He's taken risks. He's achieved. Competitors bested, as
right, right.
as Lebowski would say.
Social Darwinism. Absolutely. What's the most self-confident thing you've done lately? And it doesn't have to be big.
Yeah, I do self-confident shit all the time. I fielded a call from a businessman on the East Coast who I only know through a couple of conversations, and I told him that we could undoubtedly staff a technology engagement if he sold it. And he went out and he sold it, and we did. We are able to staff it. Like, and I didn't know if that was a sure thing. I was just confident in the fact that I have a solid network of people with good skill sets who can get things done. And if all else failed, myself and my business partner could step up and get that work done.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You do what Jim Collins talks about is fear, right? The fear of failure. With failure, there's two things to think about. So self-confident people don't focus on the failure. Why? Because they've thought about what are the consequences of the failure? If I fail, what actually happens? Then what is the probability that I will actually fail? So if you break failure down and think about those two things, I think self-confident people do that almost mechanistically or subconsciously, and they do those cost-benefit calculations for decisions really quickly, and they don't focus on the negative as much.
That's amazing that you say what you focus on, because as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about for this episode, I thought about how the whole seek and you will find. What you look for in the world is what you see. Self-confident people look for the positive. They look for opportunities. They see opportunities. They see challenges as opportunities, whereas people without self-confidence see them as, challenges, no doubt. Obstacles.
Insurmountable obstacles.
Yes, absolutely.
So have you heard of positive psychology?
Yeah.
Right? So it's instead of, as a workplace consultant, instead of going in and saying, what's going on wrong here? Where's the conflict? How do we need to solve it? Say, what are we doing right? What's going really well? How do we amplify that? How do we build more, whether it's a personal relationship or a workplace, how do we create a culture on positivity and optimism? And it's tough to do because as humans, we always want to fill the voids with negative thoughts and assumptions. But another thing that made me think of is questions. The questions we ask are fateful, right? So not just seeing the world through those lenses that we choose to focus on, but the questions that we even ask about the world say a lot about our beliefs in ourself and our beliefs in what's going on in the world.
Well, something I wanted to talk about was the voice in your head. Mm. The voice in your head is also always talking. It's always asking you questions. It's always making statements. And I wonder where the voice in your head comes from sometimes. I think it's likely often fashioned by what you've heard in the past from others. Sometimes I think the voice in your head isn't. Sometimes I think it's just an independent thing. But I think it can either say things that boost you up, and if it's too much, can lead to narcissism, or it can say some things that you don't want to hear. And I feel like the voice in your head, I wonder what its influence is on your ability to be self-confident. Number one, if it is truly influenced by what other people have said in your past, then it's probably saying positive things most of the time.
Sure.
But I also wonder, when it says negative things, if self-confident people are just stronger in their ability to realize that it is just a voice in your head, that it is a separate thing, that it is not true all the time.
They train themselves to listen, process the information of the voice in their head when it's good, and they only hear it when it's bad.
Yeah, or they even have the ability to say, you know, no doubt, I guarantee the most self-confident people in the world have had the voice in their head say, you're going to fail at this.
Oh, of course.
And they've just chosen to say, no, I'm not. And they do it anyway. Or they'll say, okay, maybe, but if I do, I'll take lessons from it that will make me not fail the next time, and I'm
going to
do it.
Right. I mean, a cliche going back to the failure thing and confidence is the only true failure is when you fail and you don't learn from it and do something different. And it's cliche only because of the talking heads. They say it too often, but it's true. If you're always learning and trying to improve, whether it's at a societal level and your countries are at war, or a conversation with your three-year-old trying to get them to stop peeing their pants, you've got to be learning even if you're failing.
That's right. And you'll never try if you don't have a basis of self-confidence.
So let's get back, and this ties to success in entrepreneurialism. Can you be self-confident without failures along the way that you're learning from and building from and growing from?
I think that you can, but I think that it's a delusional self-confidence that will eventually be broken by the first failure. Hmm. And then you'll find out whether you're truly self-confident or not.
I'll tell you, going back in time, the most self-confident thing you've ever done and said, you won't remember this, is when you got cancer the second time. And I always forget, did you have Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin's?
Hodgkin's
lymphoma. So for those of you that don't know, Dave's had cancer twice. The second time he got it, we were in college, roommates. And it was a big deal. He had a stem cell transplant, radiation, chemo, the full works, the full workup, yeah, if you will, to get rid of that shit.
Yep.
And he told me when I went to visit him at the hospital, with full confidence, he looked at me and said, "This ain't going to beat me. I'm going to beat this again. This is just round two." Do you remember saying
yeah,
that? And he
I
said
do.
This was round two. And I was just like, I wanted to start crying because he was viewing it as a boxer. I mean, that's as much self-confident as a human can be.
Man, and I feel like that it plays into things that you have control and things that you don't have control. You know, I really do think there's something to the whole seek and you'll find, manifesting things. And I think there's a little bit of truth in it. obviously, it's not 100%. But I think the crazy thing when you bring that up is it's crazy how as you become older, life, there was something in that youthful optimism that I was sharp. I was a sharp rock. The river of life had not worn me smooth, you know? And I felt 100%.
Do you feel worn smooth right now?
More than I was then.
Oh,
when I think
enough.
About that statement that I made then, I think about myself trying to make that statement now if I got cancer a third time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be so much harder to do. Even if I did it, say that,
yeah, maybe
I
not
wonder
as
how
much.
How self-assured I would be about it. You
know? How much of an actual self-confident belief you would
exactly.
have being able to beat it.
Exactly.
Well, going back to the question I asked you, mine is a very different answer. Yours was more serious. One of our dear friends was in town recently, Gary Craig, and he brought up the idea of backflipping. So when I turned 30... I guess a self-confident thing I wanted to do is I always wanted to learn how to do a standing backflip. So I went and found someone, taught me a 30-minute lesson, and from there on I was doing them. Well, I haven't done one in about 2.5 years, and of course it was a little fear. People would always say, "Hey, can you still do that?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I don't want to right now. I don't want to stretch and this and that." So he brings it up, And I say, sure, put some money out there. So he bets me, you know, 20 bucks or whatnot. What did I do? Instead of getting in my head and analyzing and thinking about it, I took 5 steps and then went and tried to do it. Didn't land it perfectly, instantly did it again and stuck it. So my point is, if I get in my head and start listening to that voice is like, what are you doing, you idiot? Don't go do that. You've had a couple beers and this and that. You could get hurt. I did it. And to me, it was a super sign of self-confidence because it was a fear that I had and I conquered the fear. So for me, I feel most self-confident when there's an unknown and there's a fear. I recognize it and then I hunt and strangle that fear.
I like that. That's a good... The flip side of that, and not to...
No pun intended.
No pun intended at all. The flip side of that would be, you know, some people act too hastily, which is the opposite of getting in your head and having analysis paralysis.
True.
And they can be criticized for doing so, but there is a power in that. There is a bit of self-confidence in acting hastily.
True.
And I think it's something that learning that balance is an important thing. I tend to land too far on the analysis paralysis side. My little brother,
me too,
tends to land too far on the acting hastily side.
But is there really a too far in any of this? Is it all just is what it is?
I think so. It's like it fashions the life you live.
Yeah,
isn't that? And that's an important thing to think about when you think about self confidence, right? So, we've talked about being positive. We've talked about finding what you seek. We've talked about the ability to take risks. We talked about how pessimistic people never achieve. All of these things are building the life that you're going to live. These are the experiences that you're going to have, you know. And you don't know when you start. A new endeavor. You don't know if it's going to go well or it's going to go poor. You just don't. But self-confident people have confidence that they're going to get something out of it that they want, you know, whether it be the goal or whether it be the experience itself, the journey. And that's what life's about.
Is that self-confident people surround themselves typically with who? Other self-confident people. And other people who build up their self-confidence, who believe in them,
yeah,
right? Not necessarily yes men, but those authentic friends that will challenge you and push you and hold you accountable and love you.
That's
and
right.
And be vulnerable with you. So think about self-confidence and social context and connections. You know, so my backflip. Is it the same? Am I self-confident doing it in my backyard with Gary for a bet and just for personal pride? Is it different if we do it in the front yard and there's 50 neighbors out? Is it different if he asked me to do it at the Shakespeare Festival at Forest Park and there's 5,000 people around, right? Others will perceive it much differently and be like, look at this asshole, it's some people funny. Would think. But I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me, right? So that social context and then the feedback that you could get could lower your self-confidence.
So you can look at in that scenario, you can look at self-confidence in two ways. You are the person who is taking on the endeavor, or you are the person who is giving feedback. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to understand both. There's both ways. And whenever you're giving someone feedback, think about what we just said, which is self-confident people tend to want to surround themselves with other self-confident people, with people who will be positive, who will build them up.
Success begets success.
And those are the people that other people like.
Right.
If you find yourself constantly tearing others down, then what does that say about the inside of you? What does that say about your own self-confidence? Right. Do you have a need for them to fail to make you feel okay about your
of course
own
you
failures?
Do.
And if you know, if it's true, if what we're saying is true, and people like being built up and self-confident achievers surround themselves with other self-confident achievers, if you find yourself tearing other people down, what does that say about you, whether people like you or not and want to be surrounded by you? I don't know. I just think that's a good thing to point out in this,
right?
Because there's a transmit and receive, just like we were talking about in the communication episode.
Right. One comment, and then I want to go a different direction about feedback. You used feedback in the sense that everyone in American Western society does, giving feedback. We need to improve how we give feedback. Who's in control of feedback? The receiver, always.
Always.
We get shit feedback, and what a good self-confident or a successful person does, and not just financially successful, happy in their relationships, they mine through the crap to find the nugget of knowledge to change their behavior more positively. Because all feedback is any information you receive about yourself.
Yeah.
Looking at your watch, getting on a scale, blah, 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 blah. And what self-confident people do is they've come up with a more effective sorting mechanism to sort through the feedback and only pay attention to the stuff that fulfills their view of themselves.
Right, like a filter. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's interesting. I hear famous people talking about with the internet now, they get more feedback than they could ever understand through, you know, social networking channels and whatnot. And hearing them talk about what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to is so important.
Right. Yeah. Another thing that makes me think about two comments that one of our good friends said. One revolves around me. It's not really a comment. The other just involves the choices he's made in his life, and that's Bart Bennett. Right. And so we were talking about self-confidence a few months ago, and he said, you know, I view you, Zach, as a very self-confident person. I'm like, well, I am in certain ways. He goes, no. Senior year for football, you'd never played football your entire life, and the fact that you went out for the football team and started a couple positions, yada, yada, yada. He's like, that was huge. You controlled your fear of the unknown. So that statement he said, I'm like, bam, that's what self-confident people do. They control the fear of the unknown. And how do I do it? Through my connections to other people and communicating with them and being transparent. Now, what did Bart do in his life? He got a college degree in physical education and was going to become a coach and a teacher. Kind of diverted that path, bartending for a long time at a high-end restaurant in Cherry Creek in Denver, Colorado. Cucina Colore, good place. And formed a relationship with a regular there, an entrepreneur. And now Bart is a project manager in the super yacht industry, installing audio, video, and internet equipment on yachts that cost several hundred millions of dollars and spends half of his year in Germany.
From basically believing in himself, having the self-confidence to fully believe in himself 100%, so much so that he convinced this entrepreneur to give him a shot.
Yep.
And not only did he execute on the shot, I mean, he hit it out of the park.
Right.
And that took self-confidence. Huge. On a level that is...
But why I said it in the social context is he said he wouldn't have been able to do it if he didn't have the support of his friends and family. Mm-hmm. To say, you know, you can do it, Bart.
Yeah.
Right? And he did that Jim Collins thing, failure, probability versus consequences. It doesn't work out. I can go back and do my original career path in teaching. I can go back and become a bartender and make a lot of good money again. Let's give this a shot. Not only did he give it a shot, he is a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Which is such an important thing. You know, if you think about that, think about it from that perspective, there's an element of this too. An element of the whole fake it till you make it thing.
Sure.
Right? Which I don't buy into that 100% because I think that it puts some undue pressure on you where, you know, we're stressed enough as a society. But I think there's something important about that. That to say to yourself, am I confident enough to go out there and do this? And if I am I confident enough to I'm going to say ignore the doubts, but overcome the doubts to necessarily filter them and allow myself to take the chance.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I've got Frank Abagnale from Catch Me If You Can. Talk about, he might be the most self-confident human that I've ever heard of.
You know, and I think a person like that, fake it till you make it, doesn't even apply.
No, he was a doctor. He was an attorney.
Yeah.
He was a Bureau of Prisons agent. He was a professor at a university.
And he just had that ability to believe that he could do those things as well as any of the other people who could do it, because what the hell did they know?
Right, and as long as you're in the script and play the part, they're not going to question your role because you're part of their normal social reality. And how old was he while he was doing all these identities? 15 years old to 21.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And then what did he do? Because he became a master check forger and imposter after his 5-year prison stint, the federal government hired him to be a security consultant, and now he has a very powerful, well-respected security consulting firm and works for the FBI and corporate America.
Yeah, and in that instance, I mean, I'll come back to that. That whole fake it till you make it doesn't even apply there. Like, mm-hmm. If you have supreme self-confidence, you can achieve some things.
Oh, yeah.
That others, it's funny. If you would have, if he, as a 15 to 21-year-old, would have asked for feedback on whether he could pull those things off, 99% of the feedback would have said no.
100% would have said no.
Yeah. So, what we're saying, I guess that's the ultimate example of self-confidence overcoming doubts and negative feedback. And I really like that. Speaking of, I'll plug a funny TV show that we've been watching called The Grinder. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but Rob Lowe is in it, and he played a lawyer on TV for 8 years. So he's fully convinced that he understands how to be a lawyer.
Oh, that's great.
And his brother owns a law firm, so he quits his acting career and basically goes to his brother's law firm unwelcomed.
Oh, wow. That's a funny show premise.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. You should watch it. I mean, it fits perfectly into this because he is so good at acting, at playing the part, that he finds himself having success in the courtroom, and his brother hates it because his brother is like, he doesn't.
He didn't go to law school. He didn't earn it. He didn't go through the struggle.
Oh, it's hilarious. It makes for some good humor, but it backs up everything that we're talking about here with the whole, you know, having supreme self-confidence in yourself sometimes can just make things happen that are improbable.
Absolutely.
So I guess what, you know, as we reach time here, the one thing that I would like to leave people thinking about before we talk about our change challenges is the kind of the most profound thing that I think, the most profound connection thought that I had, which is your life is just made up of a series of experiences that you're going to have. And the ability to have some of these experiences relies on you taking a risk, having the self-confidence to take a risk. Mm-hmm. When you look back on your life and you see the series of experiences that you've had, understand that it's built from your choices. And if you can have the self-confidence to make the choices, to take the risk, you will have the experiences. So I would say whatever you have to do to get out there and build your self-confidence, make a list of the things that you're grateful for. Think of all the positive things that are in your life. Think of all the good things that you've done and accomplished. Think about the people who love you and why they love you. And just really bolster your self-image and your self-confidence. And then go out there and get it, because that's what life is. I mean, you know, we're talking about Life Lab and experimenting with life. That's what it is. So
my nugget of knowledge before I give my change challenge is a shout out to a guy from our fraternity from college. Go find your inner Reuther. We went to college with a guy named Andy Reuther who majored in English and was going to be an English teacher, and then found stand-up comedy his senior year. Super raunchy humor. Sorry, Andy, I don't like most of it. It doesn't matter. He loves it, and he's absolutely crushing it. He's out in LA, he's on shows, multiple successful podcasts, several hundred thousand Twitter followers, I believe. I mean, he's doing what he loves, and he's so passionate and so self-confident. And talk about haters and doubt. I remember his family members came to a stand-up thing at SLU and got up and left right in the middle of it. He overcame it all, that self-confidence. So find your inner Reuther. And I truly believe he was able to help control the fear of the unknown in collaboration with others, right? The other comics that are going through that same experience.
Yep. And no doubt his closest friends who were supportive of him.
Right. Even if we didn't like the humor, we were supportive. You know, go get it. Get yours.
So find your foundation and find your strength wherever you can get it. And go out there and build that life that you're going to love.
So my change challenge is piggybacking off Dave's, but trying to make it a little more explicit. It's reflective. So what areas of your life are you most confident in? Why? You know, have a conversation with somebody you love and trust about this, and come up with one or two ways that you can extend that self-confidence in a new direction in your life.
I like that.
Two, do an informal interview with somebody. Again, someone that you know and love and trust, but the most self-confident person you know, love, and trust. Just come up with 3 to 5 questions about how they do what they do and see if you can mine some feedback and data that you can apply to your life.
And I'll give a bonus one. How about this one? How about make a list of people that you admire because of their abilities or their accomplishments, and think of something that you've always felt you were interested in but was just beyond your reach. Mm. And then go out and try to do it.
Excellent. Love it. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully you've got some useful things to do. And we'll catch you next week on Life Lab. I believe we're going to talk about persistence.
All right.
See you.